Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Does everybody see how practicing sin or having addiction issues or codependency issues is really going to hinder you really hearing God? And that's why sanctification is so important. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart by God to walk with God, to hear God, and to obey God. I want to hate evil. I want to hate entrapments, okay, entanglements, Bible. The psychologist calls them codependency. The word's not in Scripture. Scripture calls them entanglements. Okay, what's an entanglement? It's something Satan wraps around relationship-wise to cause something else to lead you besides God. That's an entanglement. You're supposed to put off entanglements. And how Satan does that, we won't get into all that tonight, but look, most of the teaching helps on that. An entanglement is where Satan comes in, causes a wound, causes guilt, causes regret, and in that place puts a hook in you. And then other people have hooks in them that come along and say, oh, I can make you feel guilty. Oh, I can make you feel like you, instead of just repenting, telling your kids, telling whoever, you know what? There were areas where I messed up. I did the best I could. Maybe I did the worst I could. But you know what? God's forgiven me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm not asking you again. And I'm just praying for you. And if you'd like to have an adult relationship with me, now that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, I would really appreciate that. And if they don't, then guess whose problem it is? Theirs! It's theirs! Do we leave it at that? No, we pray. But we don't get that hook and come back and say, well, how can I help you? Well, let me pay it. Well, let me do it. Let them grow up and need God. Let them grow up and need God. Does that mean God will never use you to help? No, he'll use you to help, but he will never use you to help if you don't have it. He's big enough to know who has it and who doesn't have it. He's big enough to know how to get it to you. Amen? If God's not giving it to you, it's because he doesn't want you to give it to them. If God gives it to you for something else, and you know it's for something else, then if you give it to them because of a hook and that something else comes up, you're out on your own. Amen? Know this. We're talking about hearing God. Satan knows what he's put inside of you. He knows what he's put inside of your kids. He knows what he's put inside of grandkids. He knows what he's put inside of friends. He knows what he's put inside of everybody. Right? And they recognize those hooks. I don't know how it works in the spirit realm. I think it's because of demons that are assigned to those hooks. And so when this demon sees in the spirit realm that demon over you, it's like, ooh, here's a perfect situation to cause trouble. Amen? We call it enabling, codependency, all these things. I just think it's real in the spirit realm. I think in the spirit realm, the enemy knows we've put so much guilt in this person, they'll do anything that this person wants them to do. Based on guilt. That's why I deal with guilt. What's guilt? Guilt is, I feel responsible. Therefore, I have to make it right. Correct? I feel responsible, therefore I have to make it right. Well, number one, God, when we are born again, amen, when we're born again, God comes in, and whatever things we were responsible for messing up, we bring to him. We place the blood of Christ over it. We truly repent. We truly get broken. We really see. We spend time there, okay? It's not just like, okay, I'm saved now, so it doesn't matter that I totally screwed my kids' lives up. Amen? It does matter. It matters even more. Because now you actually want to make sure they get into heaven. Amen? And so you've got to recognize. You've got to recognize. How does it work in the kingdom? And part of this is to hear God, you need to know his word. Amen? To hear God, you need to walk in his ways. To hear God, you need to know how he handles things. You need to understand his spiritual laws as he leads them to you. Amen? And it's good to ask him why, because he'll tell you. Because then it makes more sense as to why you're doing it this way. So guilt is a hook that says, I messed up, therefore I've got to fix it. Okay, first of all, you didn't mess it up on your own. Amen? There was the devil involved in helping you mess up, okay? He either made you controlling, he either made you lenient, he either made you an addict, whatever he did, okay? In the old, before Christ, or the baby Christ, the baby Christian, but you didn't know how to walk this, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you did not mess this up on your own. And yet, guilt makes you think you have to fix it on your own. And you're never, ever forgiven. You're always being controlled. You're always being told what you have to do and how you have to do it and when you have to do it. And you're jumping for this and jumping for that. And you're so afraid you're going to make them mad or make this person mad. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's all this fear-based stuff. It's all this fear-based stuff. And so what God is saying is, no, 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 no. You're in this mess and you're trying to fix it. Satan got you in this mess. And now you still keep trying to fix it, which keeps you what? In that mess. And so what the Lord is saying, when I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, okay, can we get this? Born again. God's spirit lives inside of me. Nobody's born again unless God's spirit lives inside of them. That is the only thing that makes you saved. It doesn't matter what you agree with hidden knowledge. What really determines if you're going to be in heaven or not is if Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's why if you keep practicing sin, he might just leave according to his word. And then the Bible says there's nothing left to save you. That doesn't sound like once saved, always saved, does it? It sounds like saved, won't appreciate it, won't accept what Christ did, and won't live out the new creation. There's nothing left to save you. And there shouldn't be. There's nothing more powerful than Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's nothing more powerful on this planet than Christ inside of a believer. Think about it. There's nothing more powerful in your home than Christ inside of you. I never preached with a pen pointed. That could be dangerous. Put this down, for we have to have a healing line. Kind of fun, though. Okay, I want y'all to get this, okay? Because this is where Holy Spirit... We're going to be on this topic for a little bit of time, okay? Because we really want to learn how to hear God, okay? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Glory is glorifying God. Okay, Christ in you is going to fix what the devil in you did. Amen? Amen. Christ in you is going to fix what devils in you did to hurt your children. What devils in you did to destroy marriages. What devils in you did to hurt where you worked. Okay? Got that? So, guilt says you got to fix it. Guilt says you better fix this. You better make this right. You better make everybody agree with you. Why? Because then you're still trying to do it without Christ. And even though you're saved now and God can live inside of you and really turn things around, if you continue to be led by guilt or entanglements, then you're still struggling in the exact same way you did before Christ. Amen? And faith is, I'm trusting that God knows how to do this. And I'm going to do it his way. I'm not going to do it the way my brain wants to do it, because my brain has been too tarnished by the way the world thinks. Amen? I'm going to hear God and obey God. And this is the key. You have to do it in faith. For example, if you have a prodigal, like the father who had the prodigal in the scripture, right? Now that father with the prodigal, he knew that he himself could not make that prodigal want God. So he had to let the prodigal go and totally mess up his life. I don't recommend this. I believe God had him do this. He even gave the prodigal his inheritance. So the prodigal couldn't blame you and bug you. Why don't you give me your money? If you would just give me this money, if you would just help me out this time. Okay? So in that case, that prodigal had to be given everything to go do whatever he wanted to do, right? And he found out that sin in the world was pretty lousy. And when he hit the bottom, which some of you totally won't let anybody hit the bottom, because you would much rather stay in entanglements. There was a purpose in the prodigal hitting the bottom. Now, I believe with all my heart that that father prayed and that that father trusted that God was going to bring that son home. Amen. That's faith. Faith is spiritual. You don't have to be right there holding their hand. You have to know, no, the devil can't have, and this is for marriage or anything. You need to know, devil, you can't have this marriage. You just can't have it. You cannot. You cannot have my kids. Show me what to do, Lord. Show me if I'm to do heal the brokenhearted places. Show me anything in my heart to change. Show me how to stand and believe. Give me wisdom to do this thing your way. Show me what to do, God. Amen? Come on. How many know if we would listen to God and do things his way, things would look different? Amen? We've got to quit doing things as if we don't have God living in us. The world really can't offer you much. They can offer you drugs to medicate demons and a lot of counseling to help you try to fast it. But they can't at all offer a real solution, right? And God's not so old-fashioned that the way he says to do it in his word is not still the way to do it. Amen? And to trust him. And then the sophisticated can't understand this. Well, Jesus delighted that God revealed this to the people who were pretty simple and not the sophisticated. God says it's better to be poor so that you can be rich in faith than to have all the money in the world and not be able to get into heaven. So we need to see things from God's perspective. Amen. We need to see things from God's perspective. So with the prodigal, God does a wisdom that I don't recommend necessarily. I don't think you need to give a drug addict a truckload of money and tell him to go off. Right? But if God tells you to, you do. So how do you know you have to hear God? But you have to have faith. See, the difference in this guilt connection that speaks really loud tries to keep us entangled with situations in our past. We talked about this a little bit last week. We are not who we used to be. Do not let anybody consider you the way they used to consider. Don't let your children treat you the way they treated you when you were not walking with God. Amen? Amen? Don't let a spouse treat you the way they treated you when you were not walking with God. Amen? Don't even let a parent, if you're grown up, treat you the way they used to treat you when you weren't walking with God. We need to be treated and treat one another as if Christ lives in us, but there needs to be fruit for that. People need to see that. People need to know. Your children should know what your response is going to be based on love, not based on rules. Rules kill. Okay, the Bible says so. The rules are for people who do not have a relationship with God. Rules are for people who do not have a relationship with God so that it will try to help them have some kind of boundaries to live within. You want your children to be led by God. So you're going to have rules in their life as they mature into being led by God. So the purpose of rules in the life of parents, Christian parents, is to help their children to understand the ways of God and to encourage them to walk into those ways. Amen? Otherwise, you're going to rebel and go into defiant because, and you never want rules to make it look like you can't ever please God. Because then you're going to give up. Why bother? Amen? So we need to see things from God's perspective. How do we train up a child in the way they should go and not depart from it? How do we recognize Holy Spirit? The biggest thing we need to do is recognize Holy Spirit in our children and encourage that. Not in some weird way that they try to be hyper-spiritual and it's not real, because you see that too. But in a way to say, well, pray about this. What would God say about this? How do we do this? And you start that when they're young. And you do things biblical. Well, the Bible says that if you're offended with somebody, you go to that person. So while you're sitting here talking bad about your teacher, I can tell you're offended. Let's pray for them. Let's bless them. And then we need to go talk with them unless you can really forgive them and see. And so you live life with your children biblically. Amen? And where we didn't do that with our children, if you weren't walking with God, that's where we repent. Repentance means I no longer agree with the way I acted. For some of you, I no longer agree with the way I parented my children. Or I no longer, not for me, I really was led by God. Thank God he got me early. I was led by God from the day my kids were born. Did I do it perfect? No. But did I do it pretty biblically? Yes. Amen? And so you have to sit in there and say, what does repentance mean? Okay, I want you to get this. Because if you don't get what repentance means, that hook's going to stay there. See, why am I so good about this hook? This hook of codependency leads you. And it's not the voice of God. And it keeps you in bondage. And it keeps your family from getting free. It keeps them from getting saved. It keeps your prayers from having power. God wants to unhook that voice that leads. And only his voice leads you. I want you to understand repentance. Okay, not that you don't, but people maybe you don't. People listening. Repentance. Repentance is this revelation. I did that in a way that doesn't please God. I'm going to give a real example. Maybe, I know I'm just preaching to the choir. Maybe you had sex outside of marriage. Don't anybody look at the camera. Nobody, keep your eyes straight. Maybe you had sex outside of marriage. Real repentance is realizing that, number one, it hurt the relationship. That, number two, it opened that kind of behavior up for your children and your grandchildren. And number three, that if you had been if you had asked God to help you and done things his way, he would have been able to bless you and make this a stronger marriage. And for people who've been through divorce, you need to stop and really look at how much disobeying God in that probably played a part in the devil being able to destroy your marriage. Now, if you take that further, do you want your children to be promiscuous? Do you want your children running this way and that way? And we live in a really horrific culture, right? And so the enemy's going to be pulling and pulling, and you've given a legal right to him to pull. And then you think you're going to make rules and no. So real repentance is when you say, oh my gosh, Lord, forgive me for opening that door. Forgive me, Lord, I should have done this thing your way. I'll never know what it would have been like to have a marriage, you know, based on the way you said it should be. I never will know. Lord, I opened that door for my children. Okay, what I'm saying is real repentance means you get a heart to understanding why God said what he said. And you don't want to see your children brokenhearted and in broken relationships and going through divorce and all this mess, right? So repentance is saying, gosh, Lord, your way of doing things is right. Not the way our culture sees it, not the way, you know, the flesh wants to live it, but your way of doing things is right. And I really repent of doing things my way and opening the door to all this mess. Okay, so when you really repent, does that mean you won't be tempted? No, if you end up single again, you're going to be tempted again. It means when you're tempted again, you're going to say, no, I'm going to do this thing God's way. I meant it when I repented. I meant that I want these doors closed. I meant that I want God to take care of my children and my grandchildren. Amen? And you really repent. And if you can't repent for something that God calls sin, sincerely repent, you need to spend time with him about that. You need to spend time with him about that. There is an unbelievable amount of sex trafficking in the U.S. It's unbelievable. It's I was reading statistics. Somebody said 79,000 children are trafficked, I believe, a day in Texas alone. And the media doesn't even act like it's an issue. Isn't that horrible? That's horrible. Well, where did the doors open for this many kids to be pulled into that lifestyle and this many kids to be taken from their parents in the malls? And where did all these doors open? All these doors open with a whole big generation ahead of these kids that was sexually permissive. Amen? And that's where God's like, because you're not doing this my way. What does the Bible say? When Christ returns, it's going to be as the days of Noah. Let me tell you what, I doubt they were selling 12-year-olds and 11-year-old girls for sex perversion the way they are in our nation right now. These are evil days. You say, well, you know, my sin didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, your sin opens the door for that. The church is sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so God's like, hey, you have to see from this bigger picture of how your sin opened the doors for greater levels of sin. Amen? And when you can really see that, then you can really see that you really want to repent of that and you really want to pray, God, help our children be holy. Lord, turn this thing around. Amen. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in America, don't we? We need a move of holiness in America like we've never seen before. And it starts with each of us. And we need to sit there. If you sit there and look at the stuff in your past that opened the door, then you can quit pointing fingers at your children and even your grandchildren and go and let the finger point at you and say, God, set me free, heal me, forgive me. Amen? Not in a lighthearted way. Repentance is not a lighthearted thing. Repentance is a real way of seeing things the way God sees things and then seeing things cleared up in the spirit realm so that you can be led by God in these situations. Amen? So I wasn't planning on talking on that tonight, but for whatever reason. God wants us, if we want to hear God, then we have to have real repentance. So when God speaks something and you don't see it as bad as it is, like thou shouldn't lie, and you didn't think it was any big deal to lie to the telemarketer, and then when that thing comes to the next generation, or they get into worse things. Do you see what I'm saying? Repentance closes the door to iniquity. Iniquity is the sins of the parents and the grandparents. And let me say, if you adopt a child or you have your grandchild, whatever, you not only have to close those lines in your own family, you need to pray and intercede and close those lines in those other families. That's why it's really hard to do a deliverance on a foster child until they're adopted. Because there has to be somebody with authority, to break the generational curse, those lines. Amen? And so when we see this, we need to be more, we need to get really spiritual about busting this stuff. We need to go into the spirit realm and bust this stuff. Amen? We need to be Ghostbusters. Amen? Seriously, we need to be Ghostbusters. We need to take the time to become spiritual and see what God says about this stuff. Instead of praying the same prayers, oh God, please save them. No, go higher. Lord, show me how these doors open. Show me anything in my life that opened these doors. Show me how, the Bible says, one believing parent sanctifies the children and makes them holy. So quit blaming the unholy spouse. Amen? Say, Lord, where did I miss it here? Where did I not see correctly here? How do I see this thing changed? Amen? And real repentance is the only way to hear God clearly. You will not continue in sexual perversion. Let me tell you, As you go deeper in God and the day gets worse, Satan's going to try to revisit you and stuff from the past. He's going to try to get you to keep that remote control on that channel and that yucky thing a little too long. And we live in a very sad world. It's not hard to figure out why the world's so screwed up, or America. It's what we're listening to on music. It's what we're watching. It's what our kids are watching. And we've just become part of the culture and let them watch that. Now's the time to be, if you've got young children or grandchildren you care for, or children in your home you care for, now's the time to be more diligent, not less diligent because our culture's more filthy. But it starts with repentance. It starts with, Lord, forgive me for letting that kind of stuff in my house. Even, you know, witchcraft. If you watched Bewitched and thought it was cute, or I Dream of Jeannie, and that was cute. Well, you don't like Harry Potter, do you? You better not. But the next generation of witchcraft is the Harry Potter where they show them how to do the spells. Oh, we just thought it was entertaining when Samantha would wiggle her nose and something would happen. How much, I feel this one. I felt that one. It was like, devil's hot. Our generation opened up the Harry Potter generation. Our generation of watching soap operas and even scheduling your college classes around General Hospital opened up the almost pure pornography that they're watching on television today. And years and years and years ago, when we first started doing this ministry, we would have all day repentance sessions, repenting of these things. And I'm telling you now, I'm telling those watching, you need to spend some time repenting. You need to ask God to open your eyes to what things you allowed in your life and you allowed in your home and you allowed around your children that's now affecting your grandchildren. Amen? You need to ask God to help you. You need to hear God when it comes to repentance. You need to ask God to get all the hooks out. Amen? You need to ask him. We need to have a real relationship with a real God that includes sanctification and holiness in a real way. The church has become like a entertainment social club and then with a little, you know, spirituality on the side to look really cool. And God is saying, let's get back to that place where we seriously seek the Lord for holiness. Amen? There where we seriously, seriously recognize that we have to truly repent. You can look at your family and you can see where the doors are still open. Preach that one out loud. Look at your children, look at your grandchildren and see where the doors are still open. Let me say it again. Look at your children, look at your grandchildren and see where the doors are still open. And then get serious before God to close those doors. Serious before God to close those doors. Don't leave out anything. Lord, show me what I watched that opened the doors for this now. Show me anything. You're saying, so you're saying everything will stop if I repent? No, but you know what? You will be cleansed and you will be holy, and then the prayers of the righteous prevail. The prayers of the righteous prevail. And let me say, quit looking the other way. Open your eyes and see the society that the church is living in, that the church is a reflection of. And then look at your life and see what it's a reflection of. And spend some real time with a real God who is holy. And let him begin to get those hooks out. Let him get rid of guilt. Does nothing but keep you in the same cycle of your past. I don't have guilt because I have the blood of Christ. Wherever you're still led by guilt is an area you haven't repented of, and let the blood of Christ come in and cleanse. Amen? It's an area where you're still able to be triggered into action by the enemy. When it's over, it's over. When you're healed, you're healed. When they try to push that button, the button is not there anymore. Amen? When the button is still there, we need to hear God and find out why. We need to, here's, quit trying to take the buttons out of your kids and your spouses and your employers and your pastor and everybody else, and let God get the buttons out of you. Amen? See, I am so serious. I'm so serious because God wants to bring a holiness back in a real way, not a fake law way. Oh, okay, I'm going to say this. If you have children under the age of 18, natural or adopted, but you are the guardian, and you recognize you are the guardian, then in the spirit realm, you have the most authority in their life of anybody. And you need to quit letting the authority from your spouse, who may be not living right, or father who's not in the picture, or from parents that are no longer their parents. You need to quit buying that their authority and their effect on your child is greater than you being the one believing spouse that sanctifies the children and makes them holy. You need to get that revelation. I am the believing spouse. I am the believing parent in this household. And these children are going to be sanctified. That means set apart for God. Devil's getting out of them, and they will be holy. And you need to believe that above everything else. You need to believe the people who've walked in that, even after adopting. We had a speaker here last year, and she got her son from another country where there was all kinds of war and stuff. And everybody said, well, weren't you expecting a lot of problems? And she said, no, we just never expected them. We just didn't expect them. In faith, we didn't expect them. And they never had them. A lot of what you get is what you expect. Well, the counselor said this, and they showed this, and they did this. And I'm not saying those people are making that up, okay? They are telling you exactly what the world can offer. You know what the world knows? The world knows enough to know that what happens to you affects you. The world knows enough to know that whatever was going on with your parents is kind of happening with you. Isn't it amazing how the world can see spiritual law? Right? The world can see spiritual law. They don't know what to call it, but they see it. How many know the blood of Christ sets us free from everything in the past? The iniquity is washed away, but we need to believe that, and we need to walk in that, and we need to enter into that realm of understanding, and we need to pray like that, and we need to cry out like that, and we need to hear God like that. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to say this because I'm saying this. When my son was so sick for however many years, it was a lot of years, the doctors could only tell me what they knew from the history of what was going on in his body. None of it was good, people. None of it was good. If I had listened to the experts who were doing the best they could with what they knew, which is how to survive without understanding God and his kingdom. If I had agreed with them, because they're experts, if Mitchell had lived, which was a high probability he wouldn't have, he would have been blind by now. He would have been diabetic by now. He would have been not more than 4 feet tall. He would have been extremely sick for all of his life. That was the best they could give us. That's the best they could give us. And that's if he lived. Their goal was to keep him on as much medication that it took, even though it would cause him to be blind, even though it would make him a diabetic for the rest of his life, even though it would hurt body organs. All they knew is, if we're going to keep him alive, we got to do this. So I got in there in faith. Thank God I know God, and I'm led by God, and I hear God, and I don't go by the experts. I feel sorry for the world that has to live without God and his supernatural power. And I'm going to say this, we need to not be them. We need to not be them. Aren't you glad you're not them, Deborah? Aren't you glad you're not them, Margaret? Amen? I'm glad I'm not them. And we need to shake off being them. We need to only look at what they say and then take it to God to say, what do we do about this? How do we get him off of this medicine? How do we see him be tall? For those who don't know Mitchell, he is 6 foot tall. He's the only one in our family with perfect vision. He does not have any sickness at all, diabetes, nothing. And he's very smart. He's nothing that they prophesied over him. Because, and I'll be honest, because his mama believed God and God's word and sought God and God's ways and repented and repented and cried out and repented and broke the power of darkness and heard God, and God's voice was louder than the voice of the enemy. You are letting the enemy speak to you if you keep the hook that the enemy put in there. If you listen to the devil's answer, you can die from what the devil is telling doctors you can die from if you choose to believe the devil's solution over God's power. And you probably will. Because truthfully, all the world does is prophesy what it sees based on what the enemy's been doing. But we need to prophesy on what we see based on who God is. And we can't do it in fear. We can't do it worried that we're going to offend somebody. Do you know how many doctors I've offended? Now, I offended some doctors right to their faces. I mean, like, right to their face. Like, I said, break the power of that in Jesus' name. I know they rolled their eyes like she's a loony bin. I went in one hospital, and on the way in, the Lord says, don't tell them you know me. He's never told me that anywhere. I'm like, what? The Lord said, don't tell them you know me. I'm like, what am I doing here? I get in there, they start doing this big old exam. They're trying to see if I'm one of those conservative, weird Christians so they can take my parental rights away from me. You think it's worse today? It is worse today. You better hear God and use wisdom, because you could walk in there and your evangelical, puffed up self and say, I'm a child of the Most High God, and I'm here, and they'd be taking your kids' rights. Amen? Wisdom is God says, hey, don't tell them you know me. Lord, you ain't never told me that ever before. Do you think I told them I knew him? No, I didn't. I didn't deny him. I just talked about other stuff. Well, we do go to church. We're so glad to be here and have these expert doctors. Every time a doctor said something to me, and let me put, every time a counselor says something to you, every time anything is diagnosed over your life, you need to say thank you, because they're really seeing that. They're not just making it up. And you take it to God and you say, Lord, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Well, you know, there's nothing you can do because their father. God's never going to tell you there's nothing you can do. God's never going to say, well, as long as that was their father or that's their mother, there's no, he is the God who is the father to the fatherless. Amen. He is the God who says, one, I just need one parent to believe in who I am, just one, and I will sanctify those children and make them holy. I'll get disease out of them. I'll get demons out of them. I'll get the wrong way of thinking out of them. Amen. We need to hear God. You need to hear God. You need to hear God more than you hear the world. You need to say what God says more than you agree with the world. You need to post what God says more than the world. Go back and look at your post and see who are you believing. Go back and look at your post. See who are you prophesying. What are you prophesying? What are you prophesying as the authority? What are you prophesying over your marriage? What are you prophesying over your children, over your grandchildren? What are you prophesying over the nation? What are you prophesying over this church? What does the Bible say? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. Now, what happens if you realize, man, I've been prophesying everything the experts have been saying that is negative? What do you do? Okay, you repent. What does that look like? Right? But what does it look like to repent? What did it look like, Micheline, when the doctors told you all that bad stuff about Lauren? From the day they thought she didn't breathe for a while, and then all the stuff when she was being born, and then after she was born, up to a couple years after she was born. Remember all that? And what did you have? Who did you have to agree with? God. Janelle, who did you have to agree with when the experts were telling you? How many know we need to agree? And let me say this. It's not, oh God, he's God. Agreeing with him ought to be easy. Now, and I will say this. If you're an expert in the field, it's going to be more difficult. They say nurses make the worst patients. Do you know what I mean? Because, oh, you know what this means, you know. The nurse walks in, looks at a chart, they're like, you know, like, oh, Lord. Amen? You're actually going to have to renew your mind in what God's word says and listen to situations where God's in charge, so much so that you can counter all the stuff that's been poured in. Amen. This is good news. Okay, let me just say this. If you want what the world has to offer, then take it. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful somewhat for medicine. You know, okay, fine. If nobody here is going to judge you or come against you because you choose to settle for what the doctors say. That's between you and God. Amen. You're just going to be loved, and we're going to help you with everything. Amen. But I'm telling you good news tonight. I'm telling you good news. I'm telling you that we serve a God who is bigger than cancer. We serve a God who is bigger than mental illness. We serve a God who is bigger than your history and your background. We serve a God who is bigger than brain damage. We serve a God who is bigger than cancer. We serve a God who is bigger. His name is above every name. His name is above every name. His name is above heart attacks. His name is above diabetes. This isn't just cute talk. It's got to become real. Because you cannot hear God when you're only listening to the world. You've got to renew your mind to hear God. You've got to begin to read it for real and believe it. You need to read what God says before you ever get close to what the world says. When I can turn it, now they're not the enemy. You know, I had to turn the way that I was to see my son healed, I had to not see the medical experts as the enemy. That's pretended faith. Well, we're not going to the doctor. Well, we've been to too many funerals for people who wouldn't go to doctors or wouldn't take their meds. Amen? The doctors, for the most part, are just telling you what they see. Amen? Now, there are some with demons that I'm blatantly prophesying falsehood, and that happened to me with Mitchell, but those were the ones where you say, in the name of Jesus, to break the power of that. I had one doctor say, just, and with this weird voice, and the little boy Nicholas died, you know, if you read my book, during the morning, she goes, just like Nicholas, your son will be back. I'm like, oh my God, what doctor is going to tell somebody who's taking their kid out of intensive care that your child's going to die just like that other little boy? Like, lady, you read my book, but you should not be saying that kind of stuff. I didn't get her license. I really could have probably caused a stink. But I realized this was the devil doing the best he could to put as much fear in me as he could. So I forgave her. But my kid, I looked at her, my son will never be back here. My son never went back to that hospital. Amen. This spiritual stuff is real. Devils will come right up and talk through people just like they came up and talked through people. Jesus, what are you doing here before our time? You start getting anointed, you have devils talking right through people right at you like, wow, I feel like I'm in somebody's weird movie. Amen? But you have to renew your mind. You need to repent if you read the medical journals more than you read the word. What does God say? What does God say? God is not a man that he can lie. So I had to get to a place to hear God, that the Lord gave me faith that whatever the doctor says, know that's what you're fighting. That's not what you're receiving. That's what you're fighting. Then bring it back to me and talk to me about how to fight it. And thing by thing by thing, we slayed that giant. Thing by thing. Oh my gosh. Thing by thing, I repented. Oh my gosh, Lord, did we open that door? What did we do? I'm telling you, spend more time talking to God. Not the same prayer. How can anybody be bored? Look at how much stuff we need to go talk to God about. Some of you should have been talking to God for the last 10 years about the stuff you keep playing with. The hooks. Get serious before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. I repent. Clean out my ears. Get these hooks out of me. What is it that you want me to do? What do I need to break to see my child come to you? What do you want me to do? What do I need to break to watch my spouse come running to you and fall in love with you? God, what do I need to do? How do I get my heart right? Does everybody get what I'm saying? Oh, we need more. Here's prayers. Oh, God, please bless this person. Lord, would you take care of this? Good night. Oh, wonder what's on Facebook and HGTV, because I'm holy. Up, HGTV has a couple that I don't think is a couple. We're going to switch the channel. Oh, we'll watch TBN. Okay. Anyhow. God's like, can we get some real conversation going? Can y'all get this? We serve a powerful, mighty God whose name is the Word. He likes to communicate with us. And all we give him, for the most part, is a little bit of a head knowledge that he's God. And we don't sit down and talk to him about the most important things we should be talking to him about. Amen? And if you want to overcome and you want victory and you want to see your children set free from the stuff the enemy has on them and you want to see your marriages healed and you want to see power in your life that's real, you need to start having real conversations with a really powerful God who's also called the Great Counselor. Amen. I'm here for my counseling session, Jesus. Okay, well, lay down on my couch. Okay, that sounds fun. Let's hang out for a while. Jesus, you know, Lord, what do I do? And then have ears to hear him and then walk it out and obey him. Amen. Just so everybody knows, I never know what direction I'm going when I do this. Amen. But can't you kind of tell when I start zeroing in on what he wants to say tonight? So if you're here or you're watching or you're listening, this is what he's saying tonight. Don't put this off. Get serious about what he wants to have a conversation about. God wants to have conversations with us. He wants to be the great counselor for us. He wants to really take charge. He wants to take charge of your marriages. He wants to take charge of your children, of your relationship with your children. He wants to take charge of the relationship with your grandchildren. Does everybody get what I'm saying? Isn't this good news? Isn't this good news that God's saying, I want to take charge. Let's have some real serious conversation. Let's have some conversation that's going to see household salvation. Ho! Let's have some conversation that's going to see household deliverance. Let's have some conversation and let me hear what he's going to say and tell those other voices to shut up in Jesus' name. And then when he puts on your heart what to do and it's not going to be what you're thinking, then do it. I'm going to end with this because sometimes I think we make this so easy and it's not easy. Obedience isn't easy, or wouldn't be called obedience. Somebody says, hey, want some cotton candy? You're like, yeah, I'll obey. I'll eat the cotton candy. Wow, that's rough. No, some of this is difficult. I remember when God wanted to heal a relationship. I won't say what relationship, but in my family. This was a really painful relationship in my family. This was where there was some abuse. And the Lord, and I had lived with it by forgiving, which I had, and tolerating a relationship with this person that was very superficial and really not that respectful because of being abused, verbally abused. And I remember when the Lord said, look, this person knows me now. I want you to call them, and I want you to ask them why they spread these lies about you. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you know, when you know you're in a relationship where the enemy has been in control, you automatically think of everything they're going to say. Oh, they're going to get mad, and they're going to scream, and they're going to manipulate, and right? Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. When that's what comes to your thinking, you are looking at a relationship of codependency and walking on eggshells that Satan has set you up to never be someone to bring glory to God in that relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, God smashes the eggshells. Okay, like he like, you know, he just really doesn't tiptoe on them. Amen. So I'm like, oh God. So if the first thought is, if I do that, I'm going to hear this, this, and this, and this. Lord's like, okay, you've been conditioned by the enemy to expect a certain response, which is going to trigger a negative response from you. God says, I want you not to be able to be triggered anymore. Amen? So you spend some time with God. Okay, Lord, get this trigger out of me. It's really kind of fun when you first do this because the other person really does what you're expecting, but then you don't do what they're expecting and they're floored. They don't know what to do with it. It's like, well, that's pretty cool. Because all of a sudden you got the buttons out of you. You got the hooks out of you. So I was like, oh my gosh. And this was really difficult what I had to say because this person had spread really bad rumors about me and didn't know that I knew that they had spread them. And they were very evil rumors. And this was somebody who should have loved me and been protecting me, not speaking horrible rumors. So God has me call this person. And this person's a believer. And I'm like, I just really feel that I have to ask you, why did you say this, this, and this about me? And just like I knew, and you don't forgive, and who told you that, and la, 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 la. And then he said, this person. I said, no, that wasn't the one. Well, this, I said, well, they saw like five people. I said, how many people did you tell? You know, how many, I thought maybe one, you know, like, and then this person just burst out from deep inside of them. I hate you. And this is somebody who's supposed to love me. I just hate you. But I'm so healed by God that I knew the devil hated me, but not this person. And if this person screamed and yelled at me and said how much they hated me, I always felt hated by this person, but this person was supposed to love me, so they always tried to cover it up with counterfeit love, which made me in charge, which kept a hook in me to control them, which God took out of me. Amen. And all I could do was feel really sad for them and wanting them free. And I remember after they went off, and first they said, oh God, make this person forgive me. This person, if they don't forgive me, they're going to hell. And I said, stop it. Don't use your spirituality with me. I said, you don't really hate me, but the devil made you think that you did. And then they burst out crying. And they told me they were so sorry. They knew that they didn't treat me the way they treated other people in the family. And I told them I really forgave them because for the first time they really asked to be forgiven. And we started that day, it was in this building, I'll never forget, a real relationship that had always been more of me in control, because I know what you did to me was wrong, and I know it. Therefore, I'm on the high ground here, which is makes me their judge. And I really repented. And I can say God has really healed my heart, and I have a really good relationship with this person, better than I ever had before. And it's gotten better and better. But it started when the Lord said, now you're healed enough to handle being told you're hated by somebody who should love you. Now you're whole. Now my wholeness was in Christ. Now you're able to not respond and hurt back. See, God will tell us when to do this. If we do this at the wrong time, we're just going to keep things going. Amen? But God wants us to hear him. He wants us to deal with our heart issues. He wanted me to see that I had the upper hand, so to speak, in this, because I could be the judge, because I knew what you did that other people don't know. I knew how you treated me that other people don't know. I know how you've lied about me. And so that made me feel superior in the judge, which always made the other person feel like they had to vindicate themselves. You know, they had to, and that's not what God wants. So I had to repent for holding this over this person's head. I had to repent for using this in some way to feel better about myself, to punish them, to punish them. Now, if they had gotten free first, they could have been above that. You need to quit letting your children punish you for things you did if you really repent. That's a very dysfunctional relationship between brothers, sisters, spouses, and parents. Amen? And God wants this to be a year where you guys walk in real freedom. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And God will have you speak the truth, but only when you can speak it in love. The Lord did not have me have this conversation until I did not need this conversation. So this conversation was for the other person to let everything out and to find forgiveness so that a real relationship could start. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is telling me this is the year for a lot of you to have real breakthroughs in deep, deep relationships. But it's going to start with you talking to him and hearing from him and letting him get your hearts right. Amen. Father, we come before you, those here, those watching, those who are going to be watching. We say, yes, God, we want to go into this deeper place in you. We want to walk with you, God. We want to deal with these heart issues. We want real deep relationships, first with you and then with others. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to take me deeper into being healed from relationships that have wounded me. I want you to heal me from wounding others. I want you to heal my children and their children. I want us to come out of darkness and into the light. I trust you, Holy Spirit, to take me on this journey. And I give you praise that you love me this much. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.